Murray's going to lead the release engineering discussion. Probably he should present what we've been talking about and the changes in the release engineering process. Then we'll go to discussion. Murray.
Okay, first of all, I should probably, for those of you that don't know, we've made a number of changes to the release engineering team recently. It currently consists of myself, Robert, John, Brian, and Bruce Ma. So Bruce, I don't think it's here, but the five of us formed pretty much a change review request committee for MSP approval and such during the code freeze. We've also done a lot of work to document the process so that it can be more reproducible so that we can have higher quality releases without such slippage for our schedule. We think it's pretty important to take a more active role at this point in 5.0, and one of the main things we'd like to do for that is to release a series of developer previews, which is just a nomenclature that we've decided upon, but the name doesn't so much matter. It's essentially a polished snapshot release. What we'd like to do is start off with a developer preview 1 on April 1st, 2002. It is by design.
I will exceed.
And our goal for that would first of all to be, we need a little bit of support for that. We'd like to do a 2-week feature to current, and then we'd like to branch for a tiny per-release branch for this, just so that we can get the documentation, supports, and the translations all together so that we can do a real polished release with packages. Yes,
now in the site tree, otherwise you're going to have tags and everything like crazy and CVS.
We haven't defined the term branch yet.
We haven't defined the term
branch.
Branch.
Oh, okay.
But we'll talk to you about that. CVS. Okay, so during this time, we're going to continue with our 4.x releases at 4-month intervals. So 4.6 will be on June 1st, 4.7 will follow in October, and 4.8 will be in February of next year. So the first developer preview would be in April, then we'd have 4.6. The second developer preview would be in June, around Unix time, and about that time, we'd like to come up with a real solid feature list for 5.0 at a meeting similar to this, I presume, at Usenix. And at that time, I think we really should be able to cut hard boundaries between what will and what will have to be in 5.0 and what will have to wait. Actually, for architectures, we're really hoping to also do Spark 64 for the first developer preview on April 1st, which is pretty aggressive, but Jake thinks that we can get something by that time.
April 1st, yeah.
Yeah.
Step 1.
Shoot Alfred.
So we've got a bit of a feature list for 5.0. The biggest variable is, of course, SMP and G. We've kind of broken up into must-haves, will-not-be-ready, and some maybes.
Your meeting reservation has been extended. 60 minutes.
UFS 2 for 5.0, KSE, which we hope to have, well, we definitely expect to have the kernel level all done, and we really hope to have the user land stuff done as well. Spark 64, I-64 is questionable, and we'd have to have some more input from Peter and others about that.
Yeah, is this the iPhone release?
No, this
5.0.
Yeah, right. You don't have to finish KSE in a month. So.
We can build an installable I-64 by April.
Really?
Oh, yeah. Very cool.
That would be good.
Yeah.
Woo! They're still playing catch up to Spark 64, though.
Okay, cool. Well, that's very good news. Obviously, there's been a very significant overhaul of PAM. We've got a lot of the trusted BSD enhancements that Robert already spoke about, DemoFast, entropy harvesting, the YARO algorithm that Mark Murray's been working on. All these are in 5.0, and they need to have some significant amount of testing, and we think that the DP can do that. So this is kind of the proposal that the five of us have talked over a little bit, but I'd kind of like to open this up to wider commentary about the schedules, the code, the 2-week freeze, the 2-week feature freeze followed by 2-week code freeze for these developer preview releases, and how that will affect development. And
Alfred wants you to add NFS locking to the list of features.
We'll simply answer that. We'll
continue. It's already working.
NFS locking. Okay. So, are there questions or comments about our 5.0 release plan proposal?
the first question I had was, are we going to try to have the developer preview 2 release done sufficiently early to press CDs to hand out at Usenet?
What is the Usenet date?
9th and 14th.
Of June.
Of June.
Yes. Yeah, June 1st might be a little
pushing
it, yeah.
Yeah.
If you want the extra press CDs.
Unless you give it the April 1st one.
Yeah, I mean, we can have the April 1st one there for...
I'm not necessarily suggesting that we do this. I just wanted to point out, if we're going to do this, it needs to be before June 1st.
Just put a CB subserver on, like, a Usenet machine. And
yeah, I mean...
give everybody access, you know, to the access point. There you go.
We're going to burn CDRs, but we can't do CDs.
We'll have the first one at that point. I think we'd also like to, I mean, if that's really going to be our second one, then we're going to want to have a lot of input about the things that need to be in there. I mean, we're going to have X4.2 in the second developer preview. If we're going to have that in 5.0, we're going to have a lot of things ready, and I think that we'll have to discuss a lot of that stuff. So,
I think maybe we should then push a little earlier. I don't think it would be much good to have the one CP1 CD at
Usenet
a week after we've released CP2. I think we should try to have the DP2 CD for Usenet, or do it after Usenet.
It could be worse. There's only 2 months between DP1 and Usenet.
And, well, then maybe we should do it afterwards.
Yeah, I'll push.
Can we push Usenet back a bit?
Yeah.
The board now is actually on the fourth floor. Can you propose it to him?
Yeah.
You said it's feature freeze, it comes flush, which I understand.
Feature freeze.
Can you speak a little more of this code freeze you're proposing?
That would be on the branch that we'd like to create, which would just be 2 weeks for us to do testing of packages.
Okay, so me as a committer, will I see a freeze?
As a committer, you would just have to be prudent about commits for 2 weeks, which would be feature freeze. Yes.
Flush.
You would not have to get RE approval for any of your bug fixes.
We would all, then you would do same thing.
Right, but we would ask you to do very same things. And
that's what I'll call a flush. We will not see an actual freeze.
You will not see a freeze unless, during the 2 week period that we're on the branch, you want to push us hard to get something onto that branch. But that would be the trunk. Yeah. Okay. Any other questions?
Quick question on the branching. Do we really need the DP1 branch or the DP2 branch? Because these aren't really releases. You might as well just have a DP branch.
We could delete the branch and you can recreate it. It's kind of nice to have them around historical
list. Yeah, I think that's easiest.
I don't think there won't be that much overhead because I don't foresee us merging many things to them.
Yeah,
everyone can move forward as we do
really
good. Yeah, the goal. One at a time. I can't take notes if you all speak.
Could we create some kind of consensus about if we are going to do this, what sort of device stuff that we need to do, what stuff that we're going to turn off, and why? I mean,
I think we'd like to see some of the performance numbers that John's going to run for us as soon as he comes tonight.
You're very consistent with his girlfriend.
Yeah. Whatever.
I think we would like the developer pre-releases to be something that are actually usable by people who want early access to the technology, and that will mean probably turning off debugging features. Now, there's an interesting question, right? Because the developer pre-release will give much broader access to people who want to test it, so there's also some sense you might want to turn on the debugging features so you get the warnings. But I think if we can make, for example, Witness attunable or something, that would make a lot of sense.
Yeah.
Is there
I definitely agree with that. It's just because it's really this double-edged thing where it's well, we're going to give it to people and we want them to run it, but hey, it's 5.0, it's cool, it's going to have X3.4.2, they will run it no matter what.
Yeah.
So let's just sort of like, you know, hey, it's kind of slow, oh, just turn that option off if you really care. Like, we'd like your, but the amount of wasted developer time on useless crashes is enormous, and I don't want to see that, you know, happen. Where there's this sort of like semi-guilting of, I really want to fix this, but I can't work with this user because he's not clued enough to turn on all the options properly.
We're not shipping this to every subscriber for a FreeBSD subscription.
Right. This will be like an opt-in thing, which has an order of magnitude less. For FreeBSD Mall, I can tell you, an order of magnitude less subscribers to like a Snapchat feed that this will go off to then.
Do you remember what happened to 3.0 pre-release though? How insane that was?
Yes, I do.
I think we make something like that may happen. So really ought to... Oh yeah, and as far as those options go, sorry, I'm just grabbing on the spot here, but like we need a list of these things. Like, because we know there's, you know, Witness and Variant, and then there's
Malloc options,
and then there's, you know, God knows what else is in there, if there is. So let's try to get that lives together somehow. But, I mean, I...
Well, what else is there besides the four?
I don't know.
We can open that up.
Besides
witness invariance, the malloc debugging, what else do we have to worry about for turning on or off for documenting for the other?
I mean, there's like a source updating file, maybe there's a source release file where people, or you know, you can send an announcement out to developers, like if you snuck anything in for debugging purposes, you'd like to know what it is, things like that, you know. I mean, you know, hey.
That's something to... So also make, you know that beautiful feature we have with the little screen that pops up with an image when you first send the machine? I should say, this is dangerous.
Mm-hmm. As opposed to don't panic?
No, I'm supposed to say panic.
I think our walking code is going down. But you want to also know about stuff that doesn't impact performance, like the card bus stuff will probably ship with all the debugging turned on, but it's tunable. So the code will be in there, but you won't get a lot of spewage.
Yeah, we get a lot of spewage right now, right?
No, you don't.
No, you turn it off at all.
I turn it all off just before...
It sounds like dull roar now. You can at least still see some content in your DMS still if you put a card in.
Is that something that is important, as you, the developer of that area, do you want 5.0 preview users to see that, or I mean, are you worried about dealing with them and getting high-quality reports from them?
I've learned how to properly filter and discipline users. I'm not worried about that, but you were wanting to know what is the debugging stuff that is there.
We want to document it.
For sure. Okay.
We need to decide whether we're going to turn off the ADA options on malloc 3 for these releases.
The which option?
The ADA options on malloc 3, Libc malloc.
Well, then they go back to someone said, do we want to leave the warning? Do we want to leave the extra test on because that's
Raise your hand, and then I can tell them to shut up.
Yeah. Well, actually, Doug is actually at his hand after quite a while. I'll wait for that, and then we'll go to Doug.
I don't know how tied you are to your release schedule, but I'd like to propose a slightly different schedule. It may make more sense. If we assume that we want to spend all of October polishing, so in other words, we have the code pretty much where we want it, and we have another developer release at the beginning of October to get ready for the official release in November, okay? If we go backwards from that schedule, starting on May 15th, if we do the first developer release on May 15th, that gives us more than 6 weeks to get the developer release ready. That gives you more than enough time to get the CDs ready for Usenet. And then you can do 3 months after that another developer release on August 1st. So that'll be developer release 2.
Well, you're waiting 45 days after we'd like to do the first developer preview, though, from May 15th from April 1st.
That's my point, is that April 1st is probably too soon.
Okay.
And puts you in weird categories relative to both Usenix and I'm making the assumption that we'd like to have at least 1 month of feature freeze before we do the release in November.
Well, we've got 2 months scheduled. Yeah, I mean we've got 2 months scheduled for that right now. With all.
Yeah, do you want to lay out the schedule?
Yeah, I can give. I've got three states and everything here. We've got the way we've got it set up right now. The current first feature freeze starts on October 1st.
All right.
Okay.
Looking up those PSET.
No, that's not that. Oh.
right. So, sort of timeline. November 20th, 5 beta release. October 1st, we want to do a feature freeze, which is, again, not... This is something that you're not going to have... Approval is not required during this period from the release engineers. This is simply a time where you'll get smacked very hard if you come through and completely break the system. It requires a great deal of sanity about what can hit current at this time. November 1st is when we hit, or October 20th, sorry, is when we hit the actual code freeze, which gives us a month of a hard freeze before going into current. So we've got a month and 20 days of a code slush, if you will, for the time with the current schedule. So I don't think that the aspect of your proposal that seeks to extend the code freeze does that much for us. Let's see, you think this June 15th, 14th? 9th and 14th, right. And then April 1st is here for DP1. DP1 on April 1st, this just gives us 2 months to go through, 2.5 months, then we've got DP2 on June 25th. You think it's here, but this gives us enough time so that if we optionally need to do a third DP, if for example the user land KSE stuff just comes in after this point, we need to do another one with the new Kubernetes library or some other significant change that's going to require another developer preview, which is an enhanced snapshot or earlier than release candidate, then that gives us time to still do that before we hit into the code freeze area coming up to 5.0 release.
Right. Okay. Now, my counter proposal is wait until March 15th to do the first, May 15th to do the first developer preview. That gives us 6 more weeks to polish the system and get something that really is going to be more usable by the time we give out the CDs at Usenet. Then do the next developer preview on August 1st, which will give us time to incorporate feedback from people that actually use the CDs we hand out at Usenet and polish the next developer preview more thoroughly. Then we have something that has gone through 2 cycles of people actually using it and polishing it by the time we get to October.
Well, we already have that with this cycle of 2 people. Plus, your main concern comes about giving CDs out at Usenet, so we can just mail those to developers just as easily.
Well, I think the other concern is if you announce it today, which is February 15th, it's not that far out to April. I mean, I wanted to compare it to April because April 1st is a kind of interesting date in and of itself.
Well, about a month away.
Do we want to be on Flash.com April 1st thing where we're releasing 5.0?
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean,
part of the thing about April 1st was the assumption was that April 1st itself was a joke and we would undoubtedly slip a couple of days in the process.
Well, do you want to have the code available when you're on Flash.com on April 1st for having released 5.0?
But that only gives us 6 weeks between now and the developer preview.
Yes, exactly. But it's been a long time since we've even had current snapshots going out into our users' hands, and the number of people running current right now is a lot lower than we need to be at this point. Even with 5.0, even this far out, we do not have enough critical mass.
I agree with that completely. And my concern is that if we rush into the first developer preview, we're going to have people picking up the CDs or picking up the code or however they obtain it, who really shouldn't be, and it's going to burn more people by doing the first release sooner, and that's going to create a lot of negative publicity around the whole thing.
We're going to burn everybody. There's absolutely no guarantee, and there will be all over the packaging about that this is not in any way a release. This is not supported. This is
I understand that, but we had this whole discussion on several different mailing lists 6 months ago. The fact that people are going to pick up the stuff anyway. The only question is how deep are the burns going to be and how long will the scars last?
Well, I should just bring this over to, I think, then, okay, now go ahead.
So as far as on for a fledged then, there's not much point in doing a DP1 if DP2 is completely different operating system. So the feedback we get from DP1 won't get used to it So I don't think we should rush up VP1, because we're only talking about 2 weeks before the feature release.
Well, what about Genesis, Yarrow, and all the rest of the stuff that's been current but has not been into widespread testing versions?
But aren't you the really big stuff like SNP and KMT are only going to get one developer preview before we release? So it'd be better to push this one back a little while so we can perhaps get KAT working and start 64 in, and then you've got at least two developer releases of what will end up being 5.0.
Part of the selection of DP1's date was Spark 64 would actually be ready by that date.
Okay. It'll only be better later on.
Yeah, that's totally true.
Okay, today we've had many people talking about what they're working on and what I think they want to accomplish for 5.0, or maybe it was just what they want to accomplish. Paul Henning, Chris, it's your work. I'm not sure you said where you see it fitting in. Geome and some of the other stuff.
I certainly hope you're on this now, and I believe we'll do our damnedest to get you a bit two in there.
And 5.0.
Possibly with or without the extended attributes.
And 5.0.
Yes, if we can.
So
that's assuming the November thing.
Perhaps you might want to call the people that have things all juggling in the air when they think it might at all make it into the tree or whatever.
Well, I don't think that the answer to that question is they'll tell you that
a couple
of days before November 1st they'll be ready.
I know, but you know what I'm saying. Is there anything really is there anything that April 1st is going to give us that
it's going to give us widespread testing? Because 5 current has been around for a long time. There's a lot of stuff in there that has not been propagated back to Fortinet X yet. And it's going to give us testing for all that stuff that we've been doing over the last year and a half.
I just really agree with you strongly on the schedule. The sooner the better. I mean, I find everything works for me, but I get a lot of bug reports. So, and there's other stuff too. I mean, we're losing day by day. I mean, I don't have time to NFC the NFS locking and just a bunch of the really cool features.
Mm-hmm.
We can get them, you know, flushed out. There are some really important things there. I mean, there's the snapshots or the background sys, and that's going to take, I mean, every single day that's out there that, you know, we get bugs and reports on, if there are any, it just works in our favor towards the end game. So we should definitely do it. I mean, if the CD set has to have, you know, a little more DC with, you know, like that, and something like that, you know, and
that's a really good idea.
It's not an operating system. Operating table.
Yeah, something like that, and, you know,
the
first thing out of the console now should be not only my bed, but your fridge.
All right.
Some kind of bells and whistles to make sure that, you know, Ziff Davis isn't going to, you know, say, oh, we benched the 5.0 release, and this is what we found.
There will probably be instructions to benchmarkers included in it.
Yeah, I mean, there's
saying don't, but also saying, here are the things you should turn off.
Is there anything you can write a benchmark to Texas?
I guess my question is, why do we think that just because we put together this nice shrink wrap package with a CD-ROM in it, that the people who already know they shouldn't be running current right now are going to suddenly start running current? I mean, as a developer, I have access to the CVS tree. I can build current at any time if I choose to sacrifice a machine to it. And there are a lot of people who, at this point, are not willing to do that because it's so broken. So why is that different when you put it on a CD-ROM? I don't get that.
Because there's a lot of effort that's going to go involved. I mean, if we have a feature tree for 2 weeks, it's going to force us to really think long and hard about the requirements that our user's going to have. I think it's more a discipline that's going to be on all of us to realize, hey, wait a second, November really isn't that far off, especially since we've already delayed this, and we don't want to do that again. And I really think we have to think that we really are working on a product here, and if we're eventually moving towards a goal, then this is just a step, and it's the least we can do to try to push things in the wrong direction so we don't get into October again and say, hey, wait a second, we're going to have to delay this another 6 months. So I think that, I mean, it's as much for us as it is for the developers. It's just time for introspection and working on the product and working on the final release.
But it seems like the date that you've chosen, though, is not about getting in the things that are going to necessarily be in that final release. It's about things that are already in the tree today.
Because, yes, it is.
So I guess I would assert that the way that things are, there are so many things that are halfway done and will not be done by that first date that the first preview is not interesting as a release. It may be interesting as a milestone in a release process, but I don't think that...
Well, that's kind of what I look at it as.
to some degree. I mean, it is a milestone. It's moving toward, it's concrete steps towards 5.0 release, which we haven't been having over the past year. We have not had any concrete progress towards 5.0 release. We've had a bunch of
I understand that. It's just that I don't know that at that early of a date, maybe we've made some progress, but it is at the point where we want to actually take the CD-ROM and try to convince people to put it on their machines again.
I'd like to make one point that ties directly to that, and that is my other concern about the April 1st date is that the things that are half broken currently are going to mask the value of people actually testing the things that aren't broken. So we're going to have people who are generating bug reports that don't really understand that the, you know, X is not really broken, it's this half broken thing over here that is affecting their system, and yet we're going to be chasing our tails trying to fix X.
Do you have any examples of that?
Well, some of the things that Murray mentioned that are not broken, like Yarrow and et cetera, could potentially generate spurious problem reports based on things that are half broken, like interrupt scheduling and et cetera, et cetera.
Or card bus support versus PCI interrupt routing. The card bus stuff is basically working. PCI interrupt routing isn't, so when it doesn't work, card bus bridges get unpleasant things happen to them. So that would be one example.
So if we said May 15th, would that be fixed by then?
No.
Okay, so I'm not arguing
with the date. I'm just giving you an example of what Doug's talking about.
I guess the way I look at this is that we're trying to enforce some level of productization of this. Just by saying on these 2 days we're going to have 2 CDs out there, and gosh, wouldn't it really suck if those CDs suck so bad? So please, developers, be nice and everything. I'd like to actually reverse that and say, why is it that on a daily basis things suck so bad? Is it just because we haven't had something on the whiteboard that says, you know, we're going to have 2 developer previews? I don't think that's necessarily the case.
Well, why? Why do you think it sucks?
Huh?
Why do you think it sucks so bad?
Well, I think that it used to be in the 2.x and the 3.x days that people got, you know, basically shat on if they broke the tree. But instead that happens all the time, and it happens on multiple architectures.
I'm asking a different question. Why do you think that it sucks right now?
Well, let's suppose you do get it to build and you only attempt to build it once a week and you hit for a whole time.
Well, no, what I'm saying is that people are willing to put stuff in the tree that they haven't completely tested.
You know, I'm asking, why do you think it sucks right now?
Why do you think the system sucks right now? Well, okay, if I was not a developer, it would not run on my laptop. Okay? I had to completely rototill the card bus stuff in order to make it work.
Okay. But the card bus hasn't worked previously, so, you know, I'm not sure that's a great example.
If you hadn't been a developer, you probably wouldn't have tried because Cardboard is not mentioned anywhere as working.
I just used old Cardboard.
Okay, what else, Justin?
I mean, yeah, what's a good example?
Okay, well, I mean, I put it on my server and it's a hell of a lot slower. Because interrupts suck.
Was it because Witness is turned on?
It's basically because we're at SPL high.
I got a good example of that, which is what Walter just said. PCI interrupt routing does not work anymore on a fairly substantial chunk of hardware.
Yeah, it works stable.
No, it did not work in stable. It didn't matter in stable.
Okay, fine. It mattered. But as a customer of this code, why would you care? Right? It worked before, it doesn't work now.
Okay, when is it going to work then?
That's Mike Smith.
Yeah, but that's not the point. Just
but it is kind of the point, because I said it's going to start working by May 15th or whatever the later proposed date is. And I don't know.
No, you asked why you thought the project wasn't working at the moment. He said because people are putting stuff into current that doesn't really work. Now that's an example of stuff that's put into current.
Right. Instead of fixing
really
the PCI interrupt routing first, we wrote code that relies on it working and it doesn't work.
But
and that's acceptable because the project has not said that it's not acceptable. And just by putting these dates on the poster, I don't think that's going to change. Because on a daily basis, until we enter the freeze, there is no restraint on what you can put in the tree.
But part of the purpose of having to develop a snapshot is to introduce some freezes.
Well, no, that's...
I mean, to provide some motivation for science to fix it now as opposed to push it off for...
But I'm not saying that we
don't
push it off.
It's you've got to get more people trying to run it and looking at it, so on the developers...
This is part of the exercise.
We get that on our mailing list all the time. People complain about stuff getting broken and stuff, but there are no consequences.
Okay, hold on.
As the oldest release engineer in the room, or longest running release engineer in the room, I'd like to point out that we have substantial historical experience with all our .0 releases. And it's undisputable that getting a CD-ROM out there makes people run it. That is an undisputable fact. We've seen it again and again. We saw people in Walter Creek produce snapshot CD-ROM. People try to load the stuff when they get a CD-ROM. At one point, Jordan and I thought about getting a snapshot out that said, do not run this in big bold letters. This is really good exposure. The secret previous snapshot. If you're not authorized, you are not
involved.
We couldn't persuade Jack Bell. So getting something out there is crucial for the testing of current. Now, whether if we tell them it's a developer snapshot or whether it's a 5.0 preview, then we start shooting ourselves in the foot because people are expected to bear some kind of correlation to what they'll see as 5.0. But if we simply call this a current snapshot, there can be no doubt about what this is. And as for putting freezes and particular features in front of a CD-ROM release, the conclusion we had by the time we have done 3.0 is that we can make a list before we want to make a release saying, we want this to work, we want this to work, we want this not to work, and so on. Or we could take a calendar and put a cross in it. And one thing we know about the wish list is that nothing would happen the way we expected it. And the one thing we knew about the calendar was, eventually we'd reach this day. This is a volunteer project. We have no guarantee that Max Smith will not get run over again. We have no guarantee that PCI is wrong. May not work until next year for some reason.
But
it's a fundamentally flawed process putting features in front of the check line, the check boxes for a release date. Set your date, and when that date comes, you roll your release, and that's it. Postponing releases forever is about the worst thing we can do. That's just it, George.
Actually, I just want to point out that what Justin is saying and what Paul is saying are actually different things. Paul does have a point. As long as Justin isn't trying to adjust the dates, then that's fine, because Justin does have the point of, I think what you're
Justin
trying to say is if you break shit, you don't get smacked around, and that's what you want to see.
Oh, all right.
I'm not volunteering to go smack people around. I'm just pointing it out.
Process improvement that can aid the situation. Because I think we all agree that there's a problem there.
I guess it really depends on how the community decides to react to it. I think a lot of people have just become apathetic about it because it happens a lot. And the people that used to complain about it are not necessarily as active anymore because they're apathetic about the project.
They have to shut them down too often.
Yeah, exactly.
Before they've given up, like Gerald.
Mm-hmm. Well, we have four more platforms than we did the last release. We have a completely different API for blocking. It's just a lot more difficult nowadays. The bar has been raised quite a bit. We have so many more users. And the fact of the matter is that you may not intend to break the build, but yet it happens anyway. And there's such a backlash about it that it's like, well, you know, screw you guys, I'm going home. You know, it's
a lot of the
builds. Well, we have build machines too. We have beats, and nobody uses it. Oh, you mean those 500
megahertz? It's like more than 2.5 hours. It's not that long.
Yeah,
you
that's
make
perfectly
out, you can buy an alpha. Use on eBay. Alpha works.
Can I point out the building
weld
is not that bad? Am I having features in the kernel that don't work? It works.
I guess I have 2 points on that. When I first joined the FreeBSD project, most of the people that were in the FreeBSD project were in it because in their day job they had to do stuff incorrectly in order to ship a product on time. And they didn't actually use their release engineering tools properly. They didn't use their revision control tools properly. They didn't use bug tools properly. If we're going to actually be engineers and engineer a real product, then, yeah, it's difficult when we have multiple architectures. It's more difficult to do the engineering correctly. But that's the reason why this is a cool project, because we take on difficult stuff and we do it right. And that's the reason why people came to this project in the first place. So just giving up and saying that this is hard is bullshit.
I'm not saying that. I'm saying that...
Well, you're saying if somebody complains that you broke the tree in Alpha, you're going to say, well, gosh, we have 5 of these architectures now. How can I possibly test them all?
So that's the reason.
And the thing is that engineers should come up with tools to make it easier for you. We shouldn't just give up.
I think that people have to take the additional
It's not occasional. It's every third day it's happened. That's the problem.
Yeah, everyone occasionally.
It's not a stable branch. At least I'm not using a
stable
branch.
I can't type and hold my hand up. If I could hold forth until someone finally tells me to shut up. I spent 5 years at Wind River Systems. We did embedded systems. They did embedded systems. I don't work for them anymore. More architectures than FreeBSD does, more testing, and, you know, more of this bullshit where you break one thing and you don't find out about it until something else. The thing that Wind River never did, which I guess I'm not supposed to say in public, that I don't think FreeBSD has now that there's so many people, particularly in this room or on the mailing list, is come up with a reasonable process. And I hate to use the word process in front of a bunch of engineers because I know I'll be murdered on my way out the door. But we're not going to decide it here, but some small group of people has to go, this is how it works. And then every few months go, now it's broken, let's fix this process. Because otherwise we'll never be able to manage this many people on this many projects. That's all there is to it. You've got to have five people, maybe the five people who are the release engineers now, sit down and work out a process that doesn't get them killed and doesn't get all the volunteers to quit. But, you know, I agree with Justin. I work with FreeBSD because I like the way it works and I like the fact that I get to do stuff right and reasonably. But, you know, you're gonna have to come up with a process. All of us arguing about it in this room isn't going to get it fixed, ever.
Well, do you have specific positive goals towards that process?
Sure. First of all, you want me to rant about this all completely?
Positive. For the next 3 minutes.
For the next 3 minutes, okay.
Items.
So you're going to have to set up a group of people who decide what goes in and what goes out, right? And so you have to have a very small group of people. I mean, you know, we all know who the experts are in which area. No one goes and screws with the UFS without asking Kirk, right? Most people don't go and screw with, well, generally. Most people don't go and screw with networking without maybe asking a few people on FreeBSDNet. And that kind of stuff has to be written down. It has to be on the website. There has to be a list of things that you do, and that has to be described. So you have to identify the core group of people who are going to handle each major module within the operating system, and those people have to form some sort of, not a committee because that's way too slow, and I've been a company to do that, but a group of people who review people's changes. And they're the ones who are responsible, and if they want to get off that, then you find someone else who's responsible for it. So that's one thing. The second thing is you're going to have to document all this stuff, and nobody, you know, maybe not nobody, but not many engineers like to sit around writing documentation. But this all needs to be written down in a form that people can find.
Well, we've written 12 pages of released engineering documentation in the last 3 months, and I mean, that's definitely something we're headed towards, and we'd like
right.
to do more of. But, yeah, I mean, we haven't taken a broader goal that you've suggested of, you know, making little fractions of the entire tree that is.
That's not going to work.
I think people are responsible for.
You know, I know what you're saying,
yeah,
and it makes sense.
Actually, David, can we just go to Julian?
I've got a couple of points. Firstly,
I'm not going to take my notes.
Breaking the build, as I say, is not nearly as bad as adding a feature which actually breaks the kernel. And breaking the build is like, you know, you check something in and forget that you've got a file somewhere in your tree which is not there, and you have no way of knowing it because you've got it, you've dig yourself to back again and the build again, you know, it's fine. Turns out that it's not that bad. It's easy for people to find out, oh, look, there's an include missing or something. What's harder is committing a subsystem that relies on some other subsystem and having a patch in there so it only like works part of the time on some hardware. That's a bit worse. But in terms of the process, I'd like to see a documentation of sort of like best practices in terms of how people develop their software, their patches, how they, you know, put them into the tree and get the feedback that it has worked. I mean, do people use two machines linked together? Some ideas of how people actually go about good practicing, you know, putting stuff in, how do you then go, and like a list of things you should do, like you should log into this machine and log in, how do you make sure that you're not competing with someone else for the same machine?
Okay, well, who will work with us to create that document?
That's bullshit.
You,
I mean, I've said...
And George works with us?
I will
actually work with you.
It is easy
okay.
to CVS up after commit into a version tree and build that tree. I have posted
takes time,
my methodology
it takes time.
Monthly.
It takes time. It's a couple of hour turnaround, and for some people it's more than a couple of hours. I know for me, if I break something in a tree, I'll discover it within a few hours, because when I had the full cycle, it's gone there, I've waited for it to trickle back to three levels of mirrors to
you
where I am.
You can get up straight from freefall what you committed, that area. You can get permission to do that. CM Master. A 30 second turnaround. From CM Master, a lot of people have access to that. GDP will give it to you.
That's not.
I have.
But in any case.
And it shows you're not respecting my time.
Shouldn't I find out that it's broken, I'll fix it.
But then you go out the door and you took a day of my time. Matt Jacob often tried to do something on a weekend. A lot of people complained over the weekend the tree is broken. That was their window of opportunity. You're not respecting our time for a set of procedures that are easy to follow. I have posted them many times how I do it, and I catch stuff. Ooh, I forgot to do a CBS ad of this. It is easy. Just make it cheap.
Okay, David, we've kind of degraded it to a general developer ramp session here, and I think I would like to work with Joanne, George, and yourself to kind of write up something like this and just submit it to the website. And if that's okay, I'd like to.
This is about your group.
Okay.
So I guess one other thing that I would suggest is that instead of becoming active as the Linux engineers only during this code flush period, that you guys should actually be in your website figuring out what features really should go in 5.0. Because we don't get that direction from core. We have some consensus within the community, but it's never recorded anywhere. Go ahead and take on that responsibility as a release engineer and keep it during the entire release cycle. Start it today.
Well, and John gave an overview of the S&P stuff. So
I know, but I'm basically saying that if people start putting stuff in the tree today that aren't relevant for 5.0, for what we decided are in the features, clap their hands.
What?
Tell them that it gets ripped out.
Wait a minute.
It depends.
We were planning on not doing that until Usenix. At Usenix, we planned on doing that because I think it's too early to slap anybody's hands for contributing new code to 5.0.
Are you going to be able to remove the feature in time for 5.0 if it's not fully there, is what I'm saying. Okay, you can set what that window is, but I'm just saying make that window so that if somebody starts putting stuff in that's going to prevent you from releasing on the date that you choose. I mean, this is the same thing that happens in a real product. We're talking about productizing FreeBSD here. Mm-hmm. We're not talking about having just a selection of people that have a common CBS tree anymore. We're talking about actually doing a product. And somebody has to be able to say what's going to be in that product and what's going to destabilize it while we're trying to make the product.
I just had a lot of skepticism about working with volunteer developers to maintain that kind of control about.
I don't buy that.
A couple of things. The Mozilla organization tackled something we were talking about nearly 10 minutes ago now with building the tree using the Tinderbox mechanism, and that worked really, really well for them. If we can find somebody with time to actually sit down and set up something like that, that will, I'm sure, will save a lot of nightmares. Like, it will almost guarantee that we'll have our offer tree buildable on any given day, give or take an hour or two's window. I've actually forgotten what the second thing was, but I'm going to have it again. But basically, the Tinderbox system just uses a list of people who've committed since the last time that the tree built. And it's basically sitting in a while one build everything loop, and every time the tree builds on all of the given platforms, they clear that list. So those people are sort of released effectively from the responsibility for breaking the tree. And so every time it fails, then the people who committed to the tree since it last successfully built, right, get a mail notification, and then we try again, and then get another notification. Each person who commits gets added to that list until it is successfully fixed, in which case everybody gets released again. And it just pests the hell out of everybody until the tree works on all the supported platforms.
I think that's a good solution, and I'd actually like to see
they've published all the code for that.
We need cross-compile system first.
Yeah. Either a cross-compiler or native compiler.
You do and you don't. Just get it going on x86 alone to prove that concept that we'd be that much farther ahead.
We can do it on Alpha and x86 right now.
Let's do it. We'll find someone to do it. We even mentioned earlier before lunch, there's an action item. I thought Murray wrote it down. Or who was taking action items? Try to find a sysadmin with Pearl, who would love to help.
Quite.
All right,
Tom.
Good.
No, okay. Next.
The suggestion that the tangential features should be barred until 5.0 releases is a little bit irksome. I'd like, for example, at some point, to merge NatPP in from comment. Now, it's options NatPP, and if you don't have that in your kernel, and it probably won't be in generic, then nothing happens that's bad, because it's all in ifdefs. I mean, are we suddenly not going to allow that sort of activity?
I just want to clarify my position on that. what I would say is that it shouldn't be your arbitrary decision as to whether that should go in the tree. It should be the release engineers or whoever, whatever body it is that we decide as a project can make that decision. Because if you leave it to individuals, then you're not going to have the ability to release the product. Okay? It may well be that in this particular case, this feature has absolutely no impact on 5.0, and they're going to say, green flag, go put it in. If you don't break the tree, that's great. Okay?
What the release engineer has said is, we've set a date, Usenet fish, after which point we care. And after that point, we care. We're going to start saying, no, take that out. That's a bad idea. Are you sure this is going to work?
That's
the
fine.
Plan.
As long as the window is big enough, that's all I'm saying.
I think that a Usenet to November window is big enough.
Well, I hope that the
and in your case here, that sounds
all
like
of it's in if that, and
right.
The if that
well,
isn't a generic, I'm hoping that maybe a little bit of slack might get stuck with it.
Well, in that case, I think it would be an easy decision, yes. But
we care doesn't mean we can't let it in.
Right, it's just the fact that we want it to not be an individual decision again. Okay, sorry.
It's come from IRC, and you just mentioned it now about this being a volunteer project. See, I've said this before in the mailing list. What Justin said was a lot of us joined this project because in our volunteer time, we wanted to do things that our jobs didn't allow us to do, which was proper engineering. And what's going to drive volunteers away is not proper engineering, but the chaos that we have at the moment. And I think, you know, there's been certain individuals in the project who have always said you cannot force volunteers to do stuff. So that's not my experience. I think a large number of people around this table have already stood up and said, like, I want it to be like this because then it would work properly. And I'm willing to adhere by the rules, even though it's my volunteer time I'm giving up to do it, because I want to give up my volunteer time to do things properly. And to say, like, oh, we can't put rules, procedures, and processes on into the project because we're volunteers, I think is, you know, it's to misunderstand what the volunteers are giving to the project. I think volunteers, you know, give to a project because they believe in it, and they're quite willing to work within a remit of rules if they see that those rules are going to create the end result that they're volunteering their time to create.
Well, okay, so what mechanism do we have to enforce the document that we create with George and Julian about the
you just commit to veil.
Can I say something about that?
Yes.
This project was started by people mostly for fun. And every time you use the word enforce, some people start to feel fun minus minus. It's a much better idea to try to inspire and encourage than it is to enforce. And one of the things that pisses people off is when somebody does something which they shouldn't have done and they get away with it. That's one concept we've had most trouble with in this project, is people doing something, getting away with it. We had a little bit of fun here on the channel a moment ago about whether we should actually CC the priest message directly to Andrew Chanoff to make him see it. And that's very funny. But why do we sit here joking about it? Because all of us are a little bit pissed on him for having broken every single priest we've had since 1994. Why doesn't he grasp it? Right? And I hate to say this, but sometimes you need to slap fingers. And in very many cases, people afterwards will thank you for having done it. Because they say, yeah, I was out of line. At the moment we had, not exactly kicked, but our foot was this far behind his behind, diving out of coal. He basically turned around and said, yeah, I think I was off the rocket there. And we've seen it again and again that people go off on some tangent and they need a slap on their face to kind of figure out what's going on. Right.
Well, Henning, I think that's more a thing that CORE should take up
I was not saying that.
I know you were thinking, but what I'm really saying here is it's probably not a thing not relevant to the discussion.
It is very relevant. Because it's very relevant. If you want to have some project, good ethics, the way things should be done, you can either do it with a carrot or with a stick.
Both.
Both is the best thing. And we've been lacking that stick for a long time.
Okay, so I get to actually interrupt for a moment, and that's that we have 10 minutes left until we have to get kicked out of the room. And so at this point, it would be probably be appropriate to start wrapping up the release engineering discussion. one of the things we need to decide is, were the objections that were relevant to the spectrum above ones that we should respond to by changing dates or not?
Let's take Justin's proposal of a compromise with ours, that the release engineering team basically takes control of it, and gates what goes into 5.0, and then basically the schedules on that.
I guess it's not an awful lot of power in the five people that semi-randomly came about, or exactly how do you mean, go through Arch and see if the consensus
you know, those five people just as good subset as any other five people yeah. can pick off. And sometimes you just have to delegate it. These people deal with that, and we're just suffering.
Well, we also did not want an architectural core team member anymore. We went to Arch to get a general consensus of all and bringing up. If we're going to go to now anything you want to commit to 5.0 needs to be broadcast first, I don't know.
For specific time periods, yes.
Right, but it sounds like we're starting to jump into it from tomorrow forward, or exactly what are you proposing?
Well, from Unix.
We're most interested in jumping into from Unix forward, which is June through November, which I think is very relevant for the .NET.
It is an holding hand, of
course. Yeah, I'm just basically trying to comment that going from chaos to clamping down with the iron fist in one fell swoop is very, very... sort of pushing things to the code fork. I mean, we already see developers working on their own now, so if all of a sudden you lock up the tree and require release engineer review for every single thing that goes in, I just wonder how long it will be before we have another XXX BSD branch. I mean, we've already got one spin off of 3BSD already.
What's this?
Right?
What's this?
I forget what the name of it is. There's a couple, but. That wasn't one of the counting.
Yeah, well,
it's going too far is also counterproductive.
I can't
point.
Okay, the two things quickly. One is that in regards to what Phil Henning said, I'm sorry, I'm still getting over a cold. In regards to what Phil Henning said, in addition to the potential cost by disciplining a committer, let's say that committer gets pissed off and they leave, you have to measure that cost against the cost of all of the other people that might be contributing to the project if random rogue committer was not allowed to get away with the things that they get away with. We've already had really good people leave just in the last year who couldn't deal with the stress and the aggravation that we've all described that is currently present in the project. How many more people could we attract and how much more work could get done if that stress wasn't present? And I'll ignore the date thing again because it sounds like you guys have made your minds up already, but I really would like to reconsider the dates if anybody else is interested in that, but if not,
okay,
I'll
let well, go. Now's the time to talk about that, so
okay,
I guess the date, or?
Well, actually, in response to Peter's comment, I think that this is similar to what people experience in their day jobs. You either have a good manager or you have a bad manager. If you have a bad manager, what you're going to say is, I want to review every single line of code you ever write for the next 10 years. If you have a good manager, he's going to learn to trust you, and he's going to ask you, what are you going to do, how are you going to do it, and he's going to approve individual projects, and you're going to have a free rein during that project. Now the question comes, are the people in the release engineering team, are they interested in being good managers?
Yeah.
By coming here with a plan and documenting their procedures, it sounds like they are.
Yeah.
And that's something the project's been missing for a long time.
Yeah. I mean, the MSC process and leading up to stable releases with Kali, that seems to work quite nicely. But I'm saying going even further than that is probably not a good idea.
Meaning applying current?
The MSC where people say, I'd like to merge this sometime over the next few days, and just getting checkoffs and things like that. That kind of thing is fine. I think we've established that the project can live with that quite nicely. However, going much further where you have to specify 6 months in advance what you're going to have done is possibly going too far. That's
could you apply what you're saying to the schedule that's up there on the board? Do you think that is going too far?
No. I think the sooner the better.
Okay, excellent. That's what we'd like to hear. Julian.
A couple of points. Firstly, I'm not sure that Unix is a large enough audience for us to be so worried about whether or not it gets to Unix or one way or another, because most of the people in Unix are technically inclined enough to be able to figure out what's actually going on in terms of the pre-release and so on. Plus, it's a very small audience anyhow. But on the topic of the how many snapshots we have, I've been wondering for some time whether what we shouldn't have on these is we should put a snapshot of 5.0, but it should also include, basically, it should install not just the release, the machine. It should install itself, the CVS tree,
and then check out current CVS tree, and it should install CVSUP, and it should install CVSUP to upgrade to a particular tag. So what we can do every week, whenever we know it's stable, we move that tag forward, and people get the newer release when they click on some button or run something. It gives them the newer version, so we don't have to keep sending them CDs. They only get the ones we okay them to get, but they get them. But
I think they're bootstrap CDs.
Yeah, bootstrap CDs to give them. So if we know in fact, as long as we know that they're
Julian, nice idea, take it up with the lead engineer team.
Yeah,
we don't need to talk about it here.
We'll
nice idea.
We'll talk about that offline. What about the nomenclature? I think Paul Henning, they just didn't like the developer preview. Was there any?
Just don't make people think that what they're getting is a beta release.
What,
5.0.
What is the better name?
Frequency byte chip.
Dangerous.
Snapshot.
Yeah, it was right. Why not do the way we used to do it at Walnut Creek?
Snapshot. Not 5.0 snapshot.
You call them free snapshots and the spoiler snapshots.
Yeah, and it had no end of the confusion.
When they came up,
I have two comments. I've been hassling people about a lot of stuff, but I think the dates look good. I think the name is fine. I would pick a different name, but I don't care enough to argue.
What is the different name you choose to show it up?
I would be tempted to call it preview, but
is that your final answer?
Well, that's what the P is, just not developing.
You want to buy a bottle? Okay,
I'm taking the floor back again now, because we're now about out of time. So, okay, that was really productive, especially that discussion of the word preview. So I think actually, you know, leaving aside any criticism and any conflict there, you know, briefly in the SMP bit and during the release interview process, I think this has actually been a very useful event. And so what I wanted to use the last 3 minutes before we get kicked out of the room for was to discuss whether we should do another of these at Usenet.
Hang on.
Yeah, those tickets are apparently coming down or on the way down. They should be down shortly. Okay, so what I was going to say is, do we want to have another of these at Usenet this summer in, I guess, here in San Francisco, actually.
Oh, yeah.
Monterey. In Monterey.
Of course. Yes, definitely.
Of course.
We want to change how we do it to maybe be 2 days instead of 1 day.
The question was serious. Were there things that we could have done differently that would have made this work better? Okay, full
name. Somewhat along the lines, I have doing it at a user conference will give you a probably smaller audience than you have here.
But not during the conference.
Still think a lot of us will not be going to users.
Okay.
Whatever you do at users, I would like to propose maybe we should also make a formal hour or something like that on BSD Code, say every once a month. Take a 2 hour, find a 2 hour time slot and say, now we're going to do some serious business in BSD Code.
Okay.
Maybe a separate channel.
Point is taken. We'll add it to the list of things to think about. Okay. Any other points to make? Because we don't have very much time. Warning. You have
no.
Okay. Benno.
I like the idea that remember time differences.
I know. But the time difference.
Okay. Yeah. Don't have very much time. Any other things that we should change in terms of the format? Would a projector have helped?
No,
projector wouldn't have. Internet access, I think, wouldn't help, to be honest.
I don't think it would have. Table.
Internet access would too long.
Yeah, table, okay. And anything else that would have been useful?
One internet access for somebody to type notes into BSD code would help with people out there.
Okay. Yeah, that's what we tried to have at this time. It didn't work out because of space.
Only I have having access.
Okay, Alfred.
Robert, how about a professional stenographer?
I vote for that.
Okay, well, thank you everyone for attending. I'm going to work on the validation stickers on the way. I'm going to go get them and make sure we have them. So, come again next time.